May 24th, 2023, SWAT Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Happy Wednesday, brother Matt.
Happy anniversary.
Happy, yes.
Yeah,
now,
man.
22 years, and I couldn't share it with you.
Yeah, man, I'm so happy to be back. Love you, man. Yeah, I miss you all these shows, and I'm so happy to be sharing these 22 years and a whole lot more. But it's been an awesome ride, and look forward to more.
Speaking of riding, are you riding with some stones that got to get carved out?
Melanoma.
Melanoma.
They always said, growing up on the beach, they said, don't go to the beach. It's like, I live at the beach.
Yeah.
So we've had the squamous, we've had the basil, now we're stepping up to the melanoma. So got to get the dude with the fillet knife
the
to
tags.
Carve it up. Yeah. Well, this one's like about a silver dollar.
Oh,
you know, it's like a this
bigger
scar. It's been a scar, been there
is
like
it
20...
under the skin? Because they say 70% of melanomas are under the fucking skin.
Yeah, it's been a mystery. Like 20 doctors have looked at it over the years.
Bob
just
Stires.
Said, oh, let's just keep an eye on it.
Bob Stires, Pop, always wore a shirt and was on his back.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's sneaky,
really aggressive.
Sneaky shit.
Yeah, fuck. Well, we'll get it.
They have cut that shit out.
Yeah. And the biopsy, you had a spring, a little springboard.
Boink. Yeah, boink. A little core plug.
Yeah, our
it's
elements.
Like being a boat. You got to get the right. Bottom scraped on your boat and keep it maintained. So
that's it. Barnacle, right? Go, bro.
Scrape those barnacles.
So we start off the show with John Coltrane doing Theme for Ernie. And then Skull Practitioners with Beacon. And because of the Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, we got with us Jason Alves Kenneth of Skull Practitioners. Welcome aboard, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thanks
yeah,
for having
it's
us.
Cue to start fucking chortling.
Ahoy there.
Now, what time you guys speak? You're in different locales, but are you in the same town? You guys Hudson Valley or something, right?
We're in New York, in New York City and Brooklyn.
Oh, okay. Urban.
Yeah.
So I guess you play the gig. My connect with you is Karen Schomer, and I know she's up in Philmont.
Right. We did a gig with her band recently.
Guy Furrows. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So who wants to go first? You want to go alphabetical? That'd be Alex, the drummer man.
Yeah, let's do it.
Alex, please bring your earliest fucking musical memory, please.
I remember spinning records with my old man in our living room, and the earliest ones that I got really absorbed into, I want to say it was Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, because that just seems like a safe bet. I remember just staring at the record, spinning around, and, wow, this is amazing. So that's my earliest memory.
That's good enough.
Cool.
Yep. Pretty good one. Pretty good one. What, now, the pad you grew up in, was there instruments? Did you do the Elvin Jones thing? Have you seen that documentary, A Different Drummer? Go to YouTube.com.
I haven't seen that one, no.
But the way he started he said it was fucking pots and pans till his sister gave him money to go with his paper route money to buy a drum set.
I came in sideways a bit, so, you know, by the time I was getting musically inclined, I'd moved from Dallas to Cincinnati and started off with strings. I did viola for a year and then trumpet for some time after that.
Was that
but it was when
school?
I got around
was that
to marching
the
marching band.
System?
Yeah, that was all through school. That was all just public, you know, high
No, but that's great because
school
a lot of
band.
Schools got rid of their fucking music departments. That's, I usually
ask
that question. So you started out, okay, doing that stuff, okay. And then what made you, do you remember getting, first time you got on the drums?
I do. Yeah, it was around the same time that I was kind of transitioning into to marching band and realizing how much just the drum line was like, that was it. Like, we had a really cool drum line and that was the vibe. That
but
was what
coolest
I wanted to
is
be
the
doing.
The drum line, right, is the tri-toms.
Yep.
Did you get the tri-toms?
We had quads.
That's even more tits.
Yeah.
That's tits up. Yeah. And did you get on it, or did they give you the fucking kick drum?
Well, not just yet. So before that, I do remember the first time I got behind the kit was at a friend's house, and he had a drum set downstairs. So that was actually the first time I really picked up and just started going nuts on something was to make some distraction while he snuck some beers out of the refrigerator.
By the way, they call it a trap kit. You know what? Why they call it a trap kit?
You know what? It's funny. I use that as my online handle, TK Shredder, but I've never actually heard the trap part.
It's an abbreviation for contraption. It came out of New Orleans. You know, they had to cobble that motherfucker together.
Ah.
Because drums were used by military to keep march beat, you know, and you slung it on one side. That's why that weird grip, right? Yeah, and I wish I was a drummer. I love having drummers on the show, especially the ones that compose. You know, Chico Hamilton could not get songwriting credits. I guess the notes are too short. Fucking bigoted motherfuckers. Biggest mistake Minutemen made was have George Hurley in the rear with all the gear. You should, last 20 years, I've had all my drummers downstage on the lip, right? That's the way it should be. It's rhythm music. Why being fucking denial? What was the first? The first record you bought with your own money, Alex?
I want to say it was the Cars Door to Door on cassette tape.
And what was the first gig you saw?
First proper gig I saw would have been Tool on their Anima tour.
And after school, not graduating, but in the afternoon, did you get into the basement band, bedroom band, garage band thing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. We had a good space at one of my buddy's places where,
Now, usually that prac pad, that first initial prac pads for youngins, is the drummer's pad. Right, because of the fucking bam bam and then setting up, tearing down, fucking waiting bullshit.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I've had exceptions. You know, in the 22 years me and Brother Matt's done it, we've seen it all. Motherfuckers tap dancing on my forehead.
I had a good friend whose parents were gracious enough to let me put the kit down in their basement, and they had a proper room for it. So God bless them for letting me take my drums over to their house and, you know, bang on stuff over there. But, yeah, we had a nice little space dedicated for us that was kind of the first room where we all...
Did this band ever do a gig?
We did, yeah. We did some high school stuff. And
tell me about the first one. You only have the first one once, I hear.
Yep, that's right.
Well, tell me about it. Was it a success? Was it a failure? What was up?
It was a success. We got to play. It was like a Valentine's Day show, Battle of the Bands, so we all auditioned, and our band was one of the bands that, you know, got selected for it, and so it was kind of a school dance type situation, which means there was a lot of people there, and because it was just friends rocking out, you know, people were getting into it. It was cool.
Tell me about the material. Did you copy off records like me and D-Boone?
You know, it was a mix between originals and a couple of covers thrown in.
But you already were composing. That's bitching. See, that's the difference between musicians, Brother Matt. They start doing that shit. Yeah. Look, you guys gave me this tune, Theorem. Right? Get scared when you get a fucking song called Theorem. Okay, let's play it.
Thank you.
artificial engineer exclaimed. As feathers on a chieftain's headband drift, white man buries earth and the earth,
Thank you. When the grave I am yours.
for Pedro's show. Start off that chunk of music. Skull Practitioners with Theorem. Then part 14 of Planet Chernobyl, the opera me and Petra Aiden put together behind Charlie Plymell's libretto. One more part, right? 15 parts just came out. So, Carlos, brand new band out of Lyon, France. Fair Seb. Souvenirs de Rosario. And, yeah, that's terrible French. It says that on the Quebec license plate, Jamie Savines. I ain't going to forget, right? Or I'll always remember, I guess, depending on how belligerent politics are. Stefano Pelia with Code 8. Paul Watson, Yours. Emergency Room 7. Bombs Printed, Ghosted. Finally, again, Skull Practitioners. Death by Distortion. Now, if it was Reg Bloor, it'd be Life by Distortion, right? She's way in it. She's got a new album out.
We played with her.
Yeah, well, I got to, she was leading the guitar sections when I got to be part of the 13th Symphony from her husband, Glenn Branca. Your turn, though, Jason. Earliest musical memory, please.
Earliest musical memory. Apparently, my parents had told me that I had made up a word for every time I heard music. I was, like, obsessed. So my first words ever, apparently, was the word guano, which I later found out.
That shit.
Or, like, bird. That shit. So, but every time apparently I heard music.
Govno,
so
right?
Yeah. I heard music. What's that?
Well, I just told you the Croatian word.
Govno.
Sure.
Well, equation,
that's funny.
Yeah.
My wife is Croatian, so I should know that.
Oh, perfect.
Okay, now you know. Here's another one. TC Mali Govno, like you little piece of shit, or TC Veliko.
Right.
And then you can also say Glava, like Govno Glava.
Yeah.
Shithead.
But they're like Italians when something goes bad. It's just Kulaks, which is not so. Other big fucking dick.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
Back to your musical journey.
Love these tangents.
So, every time I heard music, I would point to the sky and say guano, guano. I don't know where I got that word. And so I was just obsessed. So the earliest. Also, it was really the Beatles, but then I had a babysitter that turned me on to Gladys Knight and the Pips and Stevie Wonder. And
that's
those two
memories,
became.
Though. That's several memories. That was not the question.
I'm cheating.
I mean, it's the Watt for Pedro show. There's no hard questions, there's no wrong answers, but that's just too many. What was the first record you bought with your own money, please?
First record was Kiss Rock and Roll Over.
And first gig you saw?
First gig I saw was Peter Frampton. Maybe on the I'm in You tour?
For sure maybe. It wasn't probably the Humble Pie rocking the Fillmore.
No, it was at St. John's University in New York. And I shouldn't need to say this, but I bootlegged it like rerun from What's Happening.
You know
I
what?
Brought in my little separate recorder.
I think Pete Frampton was out of band. It was his own band. Steve Marriott takes over his band. I think it's Clem Clemson, so don't trust Watt for any kind of fucking factual information. look, was there instruments at the pad you grew up?
Yeah, we grew up, we had a piano in our den.
Did you go through the ordeal of the piano lessons?
Yep. I learned when I was started when I was four years old.
But how was it emotionally? After we've had guests on the show that almost quit.
Traumatizing.
Traumatized.
I liked it because I loved my teacher. He was amazing.
That's key.
That's the key thing,
yeah.
Man. Brother Matt, teacher of the year several times. Not piano, not yet. Not yet. But several times.
No, that's
Brother
the
Matt.
Thing.
Yeah, that is
the
thing.
When my piano teacher changed it, then my view of it changed.
Well, tell me about
I
school.
Didn't like it as
Were
much.
You in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
I was in the symphonic band. I started on saxophone, but I was way too short to carry it home, so it was like twice my body length. So then I moved on to trumpet.
What about soprano?
So what made the cool teacher cool? What made the cool teacher cool and then the next teacher not so cool?
Yeah, good question, Brother Matt.
Well, that is a good question. And when I think back at it, I think that the second teacher was cool because he would always say music is more important than anything. And I thought, no, schoolwork is. And I realized he taught me a really important life lesson early on. But I didn't realize that until the time. But there was something about the first teacher that just, he had that thing that good teachers have.
Well, you know, they say youth is wasted on the young.
Yes.
I learned some of the most stuff from teachers I hated.
Right there. Mitch Martisich. No, I didn't hate Mitch.
Joe Martisich was so cool, man. Yeah, he just went to a funeral.
Yeah. But he was,
different. He was different.
He tested you. He tested me. There were some other pricks. I ain't even going to name these motherfuckers. I almost got baited for Mr. Zarodovich's assignment.
Oh, man.
That coach. Okay, that's as far as I'm going to get with the name. But how'd you end up on the guitar, Jason?
So, after I had this change of teachers and I just wasn't really feeling it anymore, I said I wanted to learn to play the drums. And
whoa.
My parents were like, not going to happen. They said, how about guitar? And I said, yeah, sure, why not? And then I took to it. Like,
guitar was your parents' idea. That's bitch. I think that's a first in
22
years.
It was more of a rebellious thing.
All right. It wasn't your voice. It was theirs.
Nice.
And, it was theirs.
Did you get into the, like I asked Alex with the basement, bedroom, garage band? You get into that shit?
Yeah, of course.
And what was the first
friends
gig?
From around.
Tell me about the first gig. Was it a success?
Gig was a success. We played at this church, Our Lady of Lourdes, with our band. I don't know, the band changed names all the time, but I think it was maybe called Rainy Day Key. And we were opening for the band that opened up for REM, so we thought we kind of hit big time. And I think we opened with a Dead Kennedys cover, Police Truck, and then the rest were all originals.
And
it was amazing.
Were you writing the material?
We all were. I mean,
you were
probably
involved
at
okay.
that point, primarily me. But yeah, it was. But yeah, it was all original. I didn't write the lyrics, but the music I did.
Okay, so you co-wrote. So that's great. We get up to that point. Now we got to get last of the alphabet, tailgate and caboose. And of course, the bass player, right? That's where you put your target friend, the right fielder.
There you go.
No, I know all about it, man. The only song I wrote as a teenager was King of Space, Mr. Bass. It was not a bass solo. It blew the rest of the guys off the stage, of course. You know, there's definite issues with bass player. But anyway, your earliest musical memory, Kev. Please.
My earliest musical memory that I can remember, and I'm sure maybe there was something earlier, but I just can't remember it. But my sister got the Journey tape for Easter in, I don't know, 1983 or something like that. And I would have been 4 years old or something like that.
Let me guess, it was a scarab on the cover.
it was Separate Ways, I think.
I think they always somehow got a way to work in the scarab. I met your manager.
Deal, right?
This guy used to wear a fucking turban and a cape, you know, for such immersion music. Yeah, but we got a weird-looking manager. Right. Actually, when I first saw them, they didn't have that singer yet.
Right, they're Santana dudes.
They had Black Magic.
Yeah, the first was a whole different trip.
Right, and it was kind of progressive. They were open for them. Just like a bummer, I fell asleep. Anyway, what about the first record you bought with your own money?
First record I bought that I can remember was the Cameo single, Word Up. It was a 45.
Good band.
And I got it at the Sam Goody in White Plains, New York.
Okay.
And I remember we were driving home, and my mom's car broke down.
It happens.
We were just waiting to get home. We were probably a mile and a half from the house. But it's just, we were in the middle of the highway. It broke down, and I was just, I couldn't wait to get home. But, yeah, that's the first record I bought.
And first gig you saw?
First gig I saw, and you're going to laugh, was Vanilla Ice on the To the Extreme tour. So he was hot for about 6 months, and I saw him in that 6 months. And
you know, he was a real good dancer. And there's an extra
note. It's a great show. It was at the beat in the theater.
Extra note in that bass line, so it ain't a rip-off of Dave Bowie.
That's right. He didn't rip it off. He was dating Madonna at the time, and she was at the show. She, like, popped out of the side door, and everyone freaked out. So,
whoa.
But it was a good show.
He also got dangled from a balcony by a...
Yeah, Suge Knight. He wasn't there.
He was there in spirit.
Too vanilla.
So were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that in school?
I was in it was just the regular band. I played trumpet. My mom really wanted me to play the trumpet. So I think between fourth and sixth grade, I was a trumpet player. And I was pretty good. I had the lip. I think it was first chair. But I was bored. I could read sheet music.
I'm reading a book on Charlie Christian right now. That's why he got off the trumpet, because you get a callus on it.
Yeah, for a little.
Oh, man. So that's like the flea
that's
route.
That's why he went to fucking guitar. He said, fuck bass. Like his brother put him on bass. Yeah.
So that's like the flea route, trumpet to bass.
That's right. That's right. Pocket. You got a little Don Cherry one. So how did you get on the bass there, Ken?
So after the trumpet, or during the trumpet, I said, I want to play guitar. You know, I was into rock music, Metallica, and all that stuff. And there was a music camp in Westchester County where I grew up. And my mom said, okay, you can go there. You can do the trumpet. You have to do the trumpet, but you can do guitar there. So that's when I started playing the guitar. And
I started guitar initially. Was it the 90s?
It's early 90s. It was like 92, 93.
Yeah, you just should have held on. The ska thing would have happened for a couple of years.
I know. I missed it. I missed that. You're right. I could have.
I remember with the swing band thing, this guy, he's got a New York doll band now, but then he said, you know, Mike, when they do the scat band, it's over. So word to the wise, I'm just passing it on to you, Brother Kenneth. When they do the gap band, it's over. So what was your first bass? I'm a little prejudiced. Was it Fender?
Fender P-Bass.
Yes.
Made in Mexico, and I still play it. That's all I play.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Changed the hardware and some stuff, but it's... It works. Get the job
Leo.
Done.
The guy didn't even play it.
What's that?
Little piano, little sax. Leo Fender never played guitar or bass.
Really?
You know why it's called a P-Bass? You know why it's called a precision?
Why?
Because it's got frets.
Okay. Precise.
That ain't even a joke. Actually, he didn't invent that. Mandolin bands had fucking fretted basses, and they were tuning fourths, not the fifths, like the other mandolins. So, but whatever.
That's interesting.
Right.
Cool.
Perception's 9/10 of the law. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. May 24, 2023 edition. Wap Pedro's for special guest. Skull Bracket.
Yeah.
May 24, 2023. It's the second hour of the Wap Pedro show.
My vocabulary feels very small in the struggle for the words that maybe don't exist at all. That's okay. It cannot be articulated, but this list is to be shared. We have a wish to compare. We can dream together, we can dream together, we can dream together. We can dream together, we can dream together, we can dream together.
see you walking down the hillside. Thank you.
Pedro show. Start off the second hour. Skull practitioner. Bone practitioners are Pedro band. With Leap. And we're going to make the leap, people. We're going to see how these three isolated musicians made a power trio. Troika. Diane Marie Chloe after that with Wong Wong. Maxime Funke, Call On You. Skull practitioners. Again, what now? Electric Blue Super Infinite Transmissions out of Brighton, England. Partially Muscled Skeleton. Out of Italy, Electro Capra. Right, goat. I think they use the same word. No, it's Capra. Chupacabra?
Chupacabra?
Chupacabra. Right, Espanol. You know, Italian, they get close. I remember when I first played over there, they answer the phone pronto.
Uh-huh.
You know, here, right? Hurry up. It's like, God, give him a chance. Yeah.
Hurry up.
So I'm seven after this. This has got Ivan Julian's and Cynthia Slay's son. I don't know if you know Ivan Julian, but guitar man from Voidoid.
Yeah?
Yeah. Incredible cat. And then finally, Ventilation from Skull Practitioners. So how did Skull Practitioners come to be?
Yeah, all three of you guys had totally different first music experiences, ranging from Peter Frampton to Journey to Tool.
And you can hear
Madonna on the side coming
Yeah,
in,
how did all this evolve?
Well, I was touring a lot with Steve Wynn. This was before I joined before the Dream Syndicate reformed. I was touring a lot with Steve Wynn. This is Jason here. And in my downtime, I was like, I want to do something local, you know, because I was just touring all the time. I want to have a band in New York. And I put an ad out on Craigslist, because this was when Craigslist was around. And I mean, long story short.
It's all jiving. You want to get your house robbed and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not like the recycler.
Misconnections.
It's not like the recycler. Yeah, we had stuff out here, pink paper called. In fact, Steve Wynn actually is. I think he's a Valley guy.
He's an Valley guy.
He had some time up in Davis or something. Mm. He was up in NorCal
a little bit,
right? But I think he's a Valley guy, Ridge. I know he's Hudson Valley these days, right?
No, he's Jackson Heights in Queens.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah. What? Don't ask what. Continue, please, Jake.
So, yeah,
So
we
who
put
answered
these ads
the ad?
Out.
Was it, who answered first, Alex or Kenneth?
Well, I met a singer through it, and the singer knew Ken, and we had a singer, Ken, and another guitarist, and we put an ad out for a drummer. And we had two guys try out. There was one guy who came, and the next guy was Alex. And everyone was just immediately, this is the guy. This is the one.
So what'd you tell the other guy?
Goodbye.
You
ain't the one.
Cut your hair.
I came in second in the one horse race. Charlie Horse! That's when your pop slugs you in the arm. All right. So what was the first prac like for Skull Prac? Because you know what? I think I'm talking to a trio and you're talking about a quartet.
Yeah, we were, right? Yeah. It was evident after a little bit. We put out a 7-inch with the other band, but it was evident that the three of us really had this communication thing that maybe wasn't like that for the 5-piece. And so we decided to stick together.
Oh, it was a 5-piece. There was another guitar?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who was that? He who must not be named, or?
Well, he shares a name with you.
Okay.
I think you're long-lost cousins, and he met you many years ago.
Well, I do gigs, brother.
Adam Watt. But yeah, Adam
Maybe,
Watt.
You know, so supposedly we're like 16th cousin to James Watt. In fact, that was my pop's name. The guy they named the power unit after, because he came up with a governor and a condenser for a steam motor. Scotsman?
No way.
Peachy way. That's a joke. So anyway, Steve Wynn is kind of responsible for the fucking skull practitioners. So how'd you get the name?
It was a misheard lyric from a song that we had as the 5-piece. And we threw so many names out, but there was a lyric that it sounded to me like the old singer was saying skull practitioners. And I said, what about this? And Ken and Alex were like, that's great. Let's do it. And
well, you know the famous Jimi Hendrix song, right?
Of course, of course.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy. And then there's the Cream song, right? Hey, there's the bathroom on the right.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of fucking up lyrics.
Yeah, Wonder Bread.
Yeah. Right. Somebody write a novel about it yet? Or I asked you about the first Skull Practitioner prac, but since it went from 5 to 3 people, fuck that. Tell me about the first gig. Oh, but you said you also recorded as a 5-piece.
Yeah, we put out 7-inch as that band.
Okay. So how long did that 5-piece go till it went to the version that's dealing with me and Brother Matt right now?
Alex, what do you think?
Oh, 3 years, because we started late 08, and by 2011, we kind of had reached the decision. So I think it was early 2012 when we kind of parted ways and, you know.
Now, was it like they say in the racket, a seismic shift?
I don't know if it was a seismic shift so much as it was just a realization. Part of it was the guitarist, the fifth member, had left prior to that. So during that year, we were kind of back and forth, and that's when we realized, like, we needed to just kind of consolidate things down to the three of us. So that's kind of when it started to happen, was over that course of 2011. So by 2012 was when we realized, okay, we need to break off and turn this into something else.
Okay, okay.
I mean, the band basically broke up, and then we sort of reconvened on the other side.
You know, politically, that's always the better way to do it, right? Nobody got scissors.
Yeah, and I was like cutting the fat.
Yeah, I mean, it's still friends with the old guys.
I think that's important, you know, because I know somebody right now involved with a bunch of drama about not being able to be in a band, and all of a sudden this guy's claiming, oh, cancel culture. He was like Bob Baffert. His horses are all drugged up and cancel culture. Or the striper guy. You know, Bibles, they're next. These guys, everybody's using that cancel thing for a shtick. So you stay friends with the cat.
Here's a little cancel culture for you. I got a wooden nickel from the wigwam.
Oh, wow.
They took the Indian. They took the Indian down.
The Indian,
he was a proud Indian. He wasn't like a goofy cartoon Indian, but yeah, that's a factor. You know, the improved order of red man. What kind of title is that? We're gonna make it
back to the revolution.
Yeah,
the old
organization. So that Indian's down now. So there's a wooden nickel for you.
What's in the window?
Just
a sign you can
Well,
have.
In the window, there's still an Indian,
See?
But they took the big man
okay,
off of
okay.
the.
That's where the Minutemen did. The
yeah, picture. That famous picture, Marty Lyons.
So, did you guys ever tour as a 5-piece?
No, just some local shows, I think.
And as a trio, have you toured?
Yeah, not extensively. We've gone out to Ohio a few times. Nothing much further, right? Yeah, Kentucky and Ohio, I think, is the furthest out we've gotten.
And, okay, and this material that you gave me, it was all from an album, right? When was this done?
Alex, you can answer that one.
The album, and yeah, that came out this year, although it's been tracked over the last, I don't know, 5-6 years or so.
I don't know. I wasn't there. You got to tell me. But when I get this mind-reading thing, you won't have to use words, but... So it was an extendo thing. But you know, sometimes albums are like gigs.
Well,
I'll tell you about a Minuteman album. A Minuteman album would be like a gig in front of the microphones. See, but this was more stretched out. Oh, did you guys trade files? Was it like that kind of thing?
No, it was all live. But you know, in between the pandemic and trying to figure out what we were doing, we were actually for a while looking for a singer. And so that kind of put us on a bit of a wild goose chase for maybe a year and a half or so, until we realized that it's not going to work with anybody else, that it's just going to have to be us. So we had all these songs that were essentially instrumentals, and we said, all right, let's just put some lyrics on some of them, and we'll split the singing up between the three of us and do it that way. So that's how it happened.
Yeah, so it took time to repurpose. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
And then who ended up being the main lyric writer?
basically all of us. It was just whoever.
Oh, great.
Whoever, you know, brought
you know
in
the Husker Du rule. If you wrote the words, you had to sing it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we were doing.
Okay. Okay, look, we're at the end of
it. Did it, but that's
we're at the point where Brother Matt brings his spin sack.
We're back.
May 24, 2023, edition WAP Pedro Show. Hold tight for our three.
Here we go.
Lies is lies. hunter, I live and crawl.
Just beside our
John Truby kind of started that, if we got to point the finger somewhere.
I heard a rumor he's going to be appearing.
Coming back for more, huh?
He's reappearing.
Right on.
He's taking that Amtrak. That slow train coming.
What a trooper.
the big slow move will be from the valve on the blue line.
Yeah, yes, that's torture.
Station, right?
That's torture.
Then you'll take a bus over.
Yeah, I still.
Be closing the Vincent Tower.
That's insane. Man, that's going to be torture. Yeah, that's right? Yeah. Get all your Long Beach time in beforehand.
You know, they're painting that baby.
Always like one to the other, but I think, yeah.
Salt air and
yeah.
Shit, you know?
You know, Vince Thomas, I used to wash his windows.
And you were speaking of the IORM.
Huh.
He was one of the big.
Oh, original dudes there. Oh, wow. Wow.
One of the, like, I think one of the charter guys when they started it here in Pedro.
Oh.
He was from Biloxi, Mississippi.
Huh.
But, you know, originally Croatia.
Huh.
Because his name was. Vincent Thomasich.
Yeah, and he married Matt Berkage's sister, so.
That's
yeah,
right!
Yeah,
oh.
So, yeah, so that's how he's connected, because he was my boss at Starkist.
Okay.
Little Pedro history. So it's not Saint Vincent Thomas, he was not a saint, he was a politician.
That's right. And died in office, I think.
I think so, assemblyman, dude.
All the way. Many, many elections, assemblyman, right?
Yeah, he kind of owned that spot for a long
time.
Right,
and, trainees. Hmm. Immigration building.
Oh, yeah, ready to open. That's exciting. I guess it was supposed to open this week, but they got some permit hassles.
Okay.
But it's coming soon.
Well, before it's done.
And then Fleet Week this week.
Oh, that's
or whatever
right.
That's about going to be about, yeah.
And I remember there was a war between Pedro and
Long Beach, yeah. They were like PR battles, drugs, gangs. Don't go there, red zones.
Yeah. That's right. We were the bad place, yeah.
But they keep coming back for more.
Yeah, they keep coming back. And Pedro's got a long history. In fact, if it wasn't for the Navy, the harbor probably would have been in Santa Monica.
Right, yeah, and the Pearl Harbor connection, because all those ships had been over here before they transferred over there. There was a big connection with the...
That's right.
Yeah, so...
Tennessee, in fact, we got at our first graveyard, there's some guys got burned in a
fire. Yeah, some old.
View it's called, but you can't see
old timers there.
What's next to it? Because Pedro's got two gated communities. That's one
well,
of them.
Right.
Used to be the
for
Fort Mac.
Yeah. The hospital was there.
My head sewed up there.
Oh man!
I had two soldiers just hold my arms. And they gave me this tongue depressor thing to just bite on this. I'll shoot that motherfucker.
Oh man! Damn.
Yeah, the hook. They're not like a regular needle. It's got kind of
yeah, it's stitched. Yeah.
I had to see it as it was happening. Right?
Man,
right
that's torture. Down. Torture.
Okay, that's hour two, May 23, 2023. No, May 24, 2023. This is Wapiro says, hold tap, hour three.
Yeah.
May 24, 2023 is the third hour. The Wapiro Pedro Show. Rock for Pedro show started off the third hour. Skull Practitioners, Dedication. Dan Jones and the Squid, brand new album out of Kansas City, The Rhythm and the Rhyme. Luke Stewart with Lead Me. Wow. scary. We're going to talk about titles, right? Eric Don Lyle with The Secret Life of Plants, and then Skull Practitioners with Nelson.
That's a great book, The Secret Life of Plants. You ever read that?
No.
It's crazy. The FBI guy with his lie detector stuff started hooking up the plants and then, like, giving plants different scenarios and recording how they responded, and they're like plant people. They just got their own trip going. It's trippy. Kind of ayahuasca-ish.
Well, when do titles enter in with you guys? Is it first, middle, last?
First. It's
that's like with what? I need to be first. But almost everybody on the show does it last.
Yeah, we do it. Well, what happens is that we go to our rehearsal space and we record. We just play, and that's it. And then we record everything. And then Alex goes back home and he chops it up and he sends it to us. He thinks like, okay, this could be, you know, here's one idea, here's another idea, and he always titles them. And so then that, for a lot of the songs on Negative Stars, the record, those are his titles. And I mean, speaking for myself, all of my songs that I sing were his titles, and I kind of use that as the jumping off point for lyric ideas.
The working title is actually kind of the foundation of the focus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. Because I use titles as focus. That's why I start with them. But a lot of cats, it seems, that we have on the show, they bring them on last, especially instrumental music. But to me, if you have the title first, then you know how to aid and abet all your tools or your device to make that
target.
So, but, you know, I'm curious about it. That's why I ask. And when you ain't writing the words, when does Alex or Ken know when to write words?
I don't. Ken, do you think there's a? Is there? We don't really have a process of like you're gonna do it or I'm gonna do it. It's just it just feels natural. Just like this is just how it is. Someone takes this one, someone takes that one, or someone asks like I'd like to sing that one. I don't think it's much more than that.
And when you say I'd like to sing that one, that means I'm gonna supply the words.
Right.
Okay. So. Okay. Because I was wondering, how do they dream? Do they dream by committee?
Maybe. Yeah, it's. I mean, we're pretty. I don't think I've ever been in a band that's been so successfully democratic, and everyone is just like, "Yeah, that's cool. That's cool." There's never any the hard feelings or the fights about those kind of things.
What about production? Was it self-produced, or did you have a cat come in?
Self-produced, yeah.
Yeah, and studio?
Yeah, a lot of different studios. I mean, we recorded, some of it was at our, I guess, our rehearsal space, right? And some of it was the studio in Brooklyn, and then some was finished at our engineer's, Ted's studio in Philadelphia. So kind of all over the place.
Yeah, you know, I kind of noticed that between the mixes.
Yeah.
No, you know, that's okay. I mean, you know, who wants to hear the same song over and over again anyway? I mean,
right?
So there's a little different sounds. It's cool to me. A record, I mean, sometimes it's one big song, but then sometimes it's a collection of tunes. And I think your album's more of a collection of tunes. Yeah. I want to play, what'd you give me here? Intruder!
seized the bird and sketched its frame. Past the chocolate and improvised its name. And the same he did for her and the other ones that in his side perched.
You were the candy man.
Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transsexual Transylvania. Sound. Looks like you're both pretty groovy. But if you want something visual, it's not too visible. We can take it an old Steve Reeves movie.
Well, I'm glad we got you at home. Comedians are cold. We're both in a little bit of a hurry.
Right?
Oh, just stay where we are and then go back to the car. It wouldn't want to be.
Don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all be alright. I just
for the night, or maybe a bite. I could show you my favorite obsession. See, I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan. He's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite. Strong transsexual. Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain isn't really to blame. So I'll remove the cause, but not the symptom. The symptom!
Bob from Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Start to chunk off with Skull Practitioners, Intruder, then Laszlo and the Hidden Strength, Curlin Photo, Spice Pistols with Sweet Transvestite, a Rocky Horror Picture Show there. Tiffany, you know, I did a couple songs at the Whiskey last night, and on the way home on purpose, because I realized it was 45 years since I took the same thing going down east on Santa Monica Boulevard, then south on La Brea. Mm. And stopped at Pink's.
Oh, cool. Dog. Got a dog, huh? Nice.
Yeah, so I got a little happy deal.
Awesome.
Not Potsy Fonzie bullshit. A little bit towards that way.
Bitchin'.
So,
simple pleasures.
Yeah, simple pleasures. Right. And finally, Miami. Skull Practitioners. Miami, are you guys gun club fans?
Yeah, we are. Although I don't think the name came from that, but yeah, we used to cover one of their songs too.
Even though they had the different guitar guys, you know, Jeffrey was always the same, but I got a kind of a little bit of a feel. So that's why I when I saw that title, I was thinking, yeah, obviously you guys are distinct bands, this record was a long time in making and stuff. And you know, when most cats get a record done, they're already thinking of the next one, right? Well, some don't, but some do. Are you guys some of those who do?
Yeah, we're definitely considering it.
I mean, did you have leftover tunes, or is it going to be clean slate?
We can lie and say they're all new, but it's a little bit of both. Some leftover and some new ones that we're working on now. And then we'll just see what kind of makes the cut.
Are you going to tour this record?
10? We get some good dates.
Okay.
We got some dates here and there.
Well, you know, New England, right? Let's go back to the swing band days, right? Territory bands. I mean, New England, me and D. Boone used to, man, look at all the gigs they fuck. Yeah, but then they got winter. And summer. Yeah. So I-95 tour, maybe. I don't know. Just thinking out loud for you. So in the meantime, it's going to be... is there a place people can find out about you on the internet?
They're on all the socials.
No, but is there like a Skull Practitioner website?
There is. There's a skullpractitioner.com, right, Alex?
Yeah, we can skullpracticeners.com. We're on Instagram, Facebook.
Well, yeah, but you probably all the corporates, all those corporate websites are probably linked to your own.
Not loud, but I wanted to be specific.
And then having your own, like fucking nobody. It's like those when you watch a YouTube.com video and they say, ring the bell, press like nobody knows that fucking shit. Right? Like we got to be instructed on it. No, well, I ask about the personal website. Because I thought that was going to be the future of the internet. Like, I thought the parallel was going to be fanzines. Like, everybody's got their own fucking fanzine. And nope, everybody runs to the spin, shitter, my waste of space place, fake look, instant ham. Okay. But, you know, the way... I got an ideological workaround with that, too. You think of them as telephone poles, and then you guys are stapling up your flyers.
Right.
Okay.
That's the way to look at it.
Right. You're not fouled. You haven't been.
That is, you know, the social media is how we get the word out. I mean, if we get
a telephone pole, right? We don't have a piece of 18.
That is a telephone pole. Yeah. Or it's the records, you know, the record store bulletin board or whatever. People are looking at it.
Right. I'm totally agree with you. You think there's a theme you're going to be for your next record? Was there a theme for this last record? No, it was a collection of songs, right?
Yeah, no themes. Just finally. It's just that last.
You just got it out. You just wanted to get that baby out. So, in a way, this next record's going to be a whole, like, a big refilling of the lungs so you can really blow it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've been lucky enough, like, Larry Hardy from In the Red, he's been so
greatly
supportive.
Greatly.
Patient. Amazing label.
Yeah. Put out Kids record, right?
Yeah, they put out Kids and they put out
Who's that guy? Who's the cat from Detroit with the Gories?
Yeah, that's right.
You're ever loving man. I can't think of him right now, but he's really good. I think he lives in Brooklyn now. But anyway, look, when you guys get, here's an invite. When you get that new album, when you come back, talk to me and Brother Matt about the new album, we'll play all the songs.
We would love to. We'd be honored.
Ah, bitchin'. Most bitchin'. People, thank you so much. Supporting us for 22 years, only 22 more.
Yeah.
Bob Pedro Show, May 23rd, 2023 edition. Keep your powder dry.